anything. We don't care.
That's what I thought.
I don't think we've... Have we dropped any C-bombs on the podcast yet?
I wouldn't say a C-bomb.
Yeah, I don't think we have.
I don't think we have. You might have got riled up about... was it Son or was that Josh?
Josh. Timo Werner, maybe.
Werner, yeah.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of FPL by Dummies, the podcast where everyone captained Emmanuel Dennis and we're all going to cry in the corner now. I'm your host Tom and with my, well as usual, Cam's here too. How you doing mate, you alright?
Hello mate, not too bad, thank you. And you?
Yeah good, it's been a lovely break. I even went on holiday, so I mean I didn't even have to think about Emmanuel Dennis for a few days, which was really nice. I just got really drunk instead, so and then I get to, you know, he gets to play again. Oh wait, no, he got a red card and he's not playing again this week, so yeah.
Yeah, can't even make up for... I mean, I'm not going to be too angry at him because I think it was a bit of a shithouse. Your second yellow from Mike Dean wanting to be the centre of attention, as always. But yeah, it's just a bit frustrating. He can't even make up for it in the second game because by virtue of it being two yellows, he can't appeal it at all or whatever. So yeah, mildly frustrating. But as you said, I think us and the rest of the FPL community did the exact same thing. So it kind of mitigates that a little bit.
It's not too bad, is it? It's not too bad. And yeah, this week, special guest joining us. I mean, I think the hardest working man in the FPL community, the guy who puts out more podcasts than I have sleeps at night. And yeah, another Dennis Captainer. So again, we welcomed him with open arms this week. James from Planet FPL. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having us on here, guys. Yeah, Captain Dennis too. Yay.
I said just before this, I'm really glad you did, because if you came on here, I mean, even if you Captain King, I think I'd be a little bit bitter.
Nah, listen, it was a shocker, wasn't it? We all got sucked in, but we'll all get sucked in for the next doublers and stuff, won't we?
Oh, it's, yeah, absolutely.
It's the dream that you've got to go for sometimes. I mean, Norwich and Burnley. No, I don't regret it. I'd do it again.
But this is the thing that I think that of all of them, this made sense. Like, it's not just... Who's got doubles in the next game week? Was it someone's shit? I can't remember.
Is it like Man United? Yeah,
Man United and Brighton. Like none of those are particularly appealing. Like, you know, Brighton, maybe Mope, but that doesn't scream anything. But Dennis, like 14 plus goal involvements or whatever it is this year against Norwich and Burnley, as you said, James. Like those are plum fixtures. I think it made sense to everyone. Hence why the numbers of people did do it. But
yeah, yeah. I'd do it again. I maybe wouldn't take the minus four to get him in and move the captaincy and put him on him. But yeah, I would do it again. I think if any other team had that same double, you'd steam into it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Who are you captaining before you bought him in for minus four?
Josh King.
Honestly. Ah. Wait, are you doubled up on them then as well?
Yeah.
Oh, that is. I mean, to be fair, I'm enjoying it. Me too, to be fair. I got Foster and Dennis, but... I mean, I'm quite impressed with the full ham just going double Watford attack. So,
well, I was under the impression that potentially they were going to have another double in 25 as well, which obviously right now looks like it's not going to happen. And that's what tipped it over the edge for me to say, yeah, let's get them in two doubles in 3 weeks as well. Worthwhile.
I'm most disappointed the fact that James hasn't chosen the side of Grass FC or Analytics FC.
I don't get involved in this shit, mate. But I suppose I'd be on the grass, wouldn't I? I'd have to be.
Well, I guess that's kind of proven by you getting in, Dennis. But the fact you had both King and Dennis is just non-committal.
I haven't got time to look at stats. Once you're getting Dennis in to go with King, it wouldn't have really made sense to captain King because of the ownership numbers and stuff.
Yeah.
So once that was all it was. It wasn't particularly I fancy Dennis to outscore King. It was right. Once I'm going with both, it just makes sense to be on the right side of both of them. That was all.
Yeah,
so and in,
go on, well, in the wider context of your team, how have you done this week? Obviously, with the minus six as it stands, but
immense, mate. I picked a good week to guess, didn't I? I'm on 24 minus four with returns from Jota and Tierney. That's my lot, but I've still got my two Watford heroes to go. Yeah, it's not been too bad. I'm at 65k. I'm not having the worst season, actually. I'm not normally at this rank by now. I'm normally miles behind, blagging it, saying, yep, we're not experts. We're definitely still not experts, by the way. But, I think I've been helped a lot by permacaptain Salah this year. I was taking a lot of the decision-making away. It's allowed to focus on other things. But yeah, everyone had a shite week, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, quick segue. It's something that we talk about a lot in this pod. What's your views on captaincy? Is it something you like? Would you want to keep it in the game? Or if you had the opportunity, would you get rid of it?
No, I'd keep it, I think. It's a question we get a lot in terms of what would you change with the game, and often we just go, no, leave it as it is. I think once you take away scoring possibilities, people lose interest. Once you suddenly start going from the average of 60 to averages of 45s, people lose interest. It's that dream that you can jump massively, and I think if you remove captaincy, you're removing that away from people a little bit. So no, I'm with it. I think it's an important part of the game.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, you're right, absolutely. The perma-captain salad has just made it that much easier this year, taking like one stress out of picking your team for a game week, because it's just set and forget, really, isn't it?
Hated it, by the way, because I hate the idea of it, but there was just a long period there you just could not go against it.
Yeah. Well, and backed up by the fact that it was like 15 game weeks or something where he didn't blank on the bounce. So, yeah, I had a similar week. I think beating me by one, I'm on 23 on a -4.
Wow, yes.
my two returns were Jota and Soufal instead of, who was your defensive one?
Tierney. Tierney.
Yeah. Do we think Foster's going to play the second game week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless, yeah, Roy loves him from his West Brom spell as well. So
yeah, unless they sign Dean Henderson, well. I've heard the rumours tonight.
What, Watford?
Yeah, yeah. We are recording on deadline day today. So yeah, Dean Henderson is being linked with Watford as we speak.
Tom's got his yellow tie on and everything, doing his best Jeff White impression. Oh, it's Jim White, not Jeff. Jim White.
Yeah, you tried. two Sky Sports presenters there, but...
Yeah. I've seen Donny's just gone through as well. I know everyone expected that, but that's confirmed now. Donny to Everton.
Oh, I'll add into the list for in a little bit then.
Donny van der Beek, yay.
Yeah. Henderson, yeah, was potentially going to be going to Newcastle. I don't actually know what happened there, because last I checked, he was on his way for a loan move there. But apparently,
I think Man United just didn't want to give players to Newcastle, did they? It was similar with Lingard and
yeah,
stuff. As
yeah,
well,
he's so. Now confirmed as staying, isn't he?
Yeah, very strange. Whereas I had a much better week than you two. I beat you by by 2 points, got 26, but not a -4. And that's because of the I finally my faith with the massive Ivan Toney and Brian Mbeumo finally paid off. Goal and assist contribution between the two of them. Although I bench Soufal, so there's not much to celebrate, really.
Well, the only thing now is that Tony's getting sold today, isn't he?
Let's not talk about it. let's not talk about it. No, as I said to you pre the podcast, I don't give a shit. As long as he starts scoring some goals, I don't think anyone cares. So, I think I said before, and that I don't think it's really a big deal. I mean, I think I've said many times before, fuck Brentford. As I'm sure you've told Liverpool to fuck off, and I'm sure James has told Spurs to fuck off. So
many a times.
Exactly. So yeah, while he's drunk on holiday in Dubai, I'm pretty sure he can do whatever the hell he wants. So yeah, I don't care. I don't care at all. So yeah, on positive news, we signed Christian Eriksen today. So another one. You can fuck off, Cam.
That was a whole 5 minutes before you brought it up.
Yeah. Oh well, you know.
You've been absolutely gagging.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I did have to look up ways to control my boner for several hours, because it's been about 8 hours now, and it's still not going down. pretty good news for me this month today. But yeah, we'll get on to that a bit later on. So
you knew it was coming for weeks.
I mean, I did, but I was getting a bit more nervous. I was getting more and more nervous. Like it was one of those where like, oh, we just linked, and then nothing will happen. But yeah, it's been a good day to be a Brentford fan. So yeah. Anyway, get back on to you, mate. Planet FPL, how did that start? I mean, you've been doing it for how many years now?
By a freak accident. gosh, we are 5.5 years in now, I think. Well, no, 4.5 years in, I guess. We're in season 5, so 4.5 years in. I worked for Sudge's packaging company, won the mini league. He said, do you want to do a podcast? I said, yeah, why not? Sounds like fun. And then he said, do you want to do another one? I said, yeah, all right, sounds like fun. Here we are, years later, doing 10 podcasts a week.
Yeah, nice.
It's not a romantic story how it started. It really, really isn't. It was just switch record, see what happens. And it's just taken off from there. And I'm obviously in a blessed position now where I'm working full time on it and stuff. It was never part of the plan. It was it might have been Sudge's master plan, but he never told me about it. And that's how it started. For those of you listening who might not know us, I'm Tottenham season ticket holder, Sudge's West Ham season ticket holder. So I think we're very much football fans rather than FPL fans, if you will. And we talk far more about football than we talk about it. The FPL kind of comes with the football, basically.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, to be fair, you said for those listeners that don't know who you are, I mean, if you're listening to us and you're not listening to James and Suj, then to be honest, you may as well turn us off and go listen to them instead because they're much better at what they do. So it's brilliant. So, yeah, very, very good. I got to say, before I really got into the community,
as far as I know, Tom, your mum does not listen to us, mate. So
that's true.
To be fair, yeah, in there, mate.
She is a loyal listener. She's a very loyal listener. I mean, yeah, she is. Well, as you're listening, mum, thanks very much. But yeah, it's really cool to have you on. I mean, so I've been lucky enough, obviously, to become your Brentford correspondent this year, which has been great fun. Even though when I fuck it up a few times with the old timings, we won't talk about that. But yeah, it's been really good fun, obviously, to chat to all the guys. And yourself being a Tottenham fan, one thing I've always asked, obviously, I did the last Clash of the Correspondents with Ricky. Do you find it really hard to be not biased? I find it, obviously, I'm incredibly biased, as you are very well aware.
No, I mean, yeah, it's an interesting one, the fact that you came on with Ricky, who's a Tottenham fan. But I don't think there's any point in me hiding who I support. It's not like everybody doesn't know and stuff. So, no. But they turned out to be the best ones. If anything, I'm probably more biased against Tottenham in some of my biases because I don't want to come across as a typical Liverpool fan can. So I tend to go against my team quite a lot. But yeah, I put myself out there for who I support. I don't think I have to pretend away from it.
No, and how come? So why Tottenham then? How come you've unfortunately given yourself a lifelong sentence of Tottenham?
I wasn't given a choice by my father. My dad's been going to Tottenham since the late 1950s. He's a nut. He's worse than me. Like his whole life surrounds it all the time. So I was never given a choice. I got taken regularly. I first got taken to a game when I was like 11 months old or something. Apparently, when we scored, I was fine, but when my dad shouted, I cried, and it's been the same nearly 40 years later, basically. So yeah, it's just passed down from family. My dad's dad went to Tottenham as well, so it goes through family generations, going back like 70 years, 80 years or so.
Poor you.
Poor mate, yeah. I mean, it could be worse,
Yeah, you could be a Brentford fan.
I didn't say that, Tom.
And what do you make of Spurs' season so far and Conte and everything?
Obviously very happy with the manager. We're privileged to have one of the top bosses around. And I think it's him and him alone that's given us kind of a shot of still being involved in top four because we don't have the quality of players. It's nice to see, obviously, the time recording, the window's not shut, but Tottenham have done a lot of business today in terms of getting players out of the club. And actually, that's more important than the players that come in, that Conte gets rid of the guys that he doesn't want there, gets them out the door is the most important thing. Then you can get the proper signings in the summer. So I think Tottenham fans need to accept that we're well below sort of your level, Cam, in terms of like Liverpool, Chelsea and City at the moment, we're miles behind. Somehow we're in a chance this season, despite being abysmal for most of this campaign, in a place where we can compete with Arsenal, United and West Ham. Because of Conte, we're in with a chance, but we're miles behind on quality, miles behind, certainly in terms of the top three anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable, as you say, like 36 points, 20 games played, you've got at least two or three games in hand on the teams above you. So you could be a lot closer to Chelsea than you currently are. And I think a lot of your games in hand are quite favourable, aren't they? You've got Burnley at the very least. We won't talk about that trip for you, but...
I was there, mate, in the snow.
That's what I mean. We don't talk about it.
Do you know what? I could have had a worse day, mate. If we'd have lost 1-0, I'd have gone home more pissed off than I was. But, no, yeah. I wouldn't say that about our games now. Like Burnley away, okay, yeah, on paper, guys. It's Burnley, but it's always tricky going there if you catch them at the wrong time. Brighton are a good side now. We've got to go to the Amex. Well, I think they've lost. I saw a mad stat. They've only lost once away from home this season. I think Brighton, admittedly, we go to there. Yeah. Like you can probably write that down as a 1-1 now and just put it on the board. And then Arsenal at home is obviously, it's a derby. The fixture does normally favour the home team, but probably depends on when it's played and the status of the two teams at that point. So the games in hand are never a guarantee that you're going to put the points on the board. We've got some difficult fixtures to come, like Wolves in 25, City in 26, we've got United in 29. So there's some tough fixtures coming up. The thing with going top four, you've got to forget about everybody else and just be consistent. At the point rate that we're on, we'll end up being very close. If we can get towards 2 points per game for the rest of this season, we'll finish fourth. yeah. irrespective of what the others do. But the same applies to the other three teams competing for it.
So what do you reckon then? If you had to put money on it, where do you think you finish?
If you just said to me a week ago, I'd have said Arsenal.
Yeah.
To finish fourth, yeah. But I can't believe that at the time of recording, they've not done any business.
I mean, they've got, 20 players now at the moment?
Well, probably less than that. I mean, they've got some brilliant academy kids coming through and stuff, but they're leaving themselves a little bit light, aren't they, particularly in the forward areas. I have a feeling that he might try and play a false nine at points in the second half of the season. That's about the only explanation I can think for the fact that they're not buying a forward in. Well, yeah, Bamian's gone full Wadham wingy today, hasn't he? Trying to find
what a throwback that was.
But Arteta's not going to integrate him into the squad, so it's in Arsenal's interest to move him on, really, by the sounds of it. But I can't believe, as it stands, it looks like they're not going to buy anyone. I think that'll bite them. Fourth, therefore, really should be United's. I think Pogba coming back is going to be a big deal for them, but you never really know which way that's going to go. Yeah. He'll come back, he'll look brilliant for 3 games, but can he come back and look brilliant for 10 games? And I think that might define United. United have got 5 really good fixtures before, like, City, Tottenham and Liverpool, 3 in a row. And the period either side is going to kind of define what happens with United. United should finish fourth, even though they've let some players go as well. With the depth they've got, it should be theirs. West Ham, I think, are probably going to fall a little bit short, but I've had a great campaign.
Yeah, they've been brilliant. I mean, and it's funny you said that, obviously, they might play a false nine Arsenal, because I mean he is basically mini Pep, isn't he? Old Arteta gets nice and angry on the touchline,
but I can see that. I mean, if Arsenal haven't bought anyone, then if you put their best 11 together, there's a strong case to say you could use Smith Rowe as a false nine, for example. I can see that, certainly in some of the bigger games they have.
No, definitely. Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on the Spurs' dealings today and for the past month as well? But.
Yeah, pretty pleased. As I said, Cam, I think the important thing was to get the players out the door that he wants to get rid of. That's not everybody. You've still got average footballers like Matt Doherty hanging around. But the problem is, unless you're Liverpool and we buy for a certain player that triggers you into action, mate, you don't get good players in January. Liverpool only went for Diaz because Tottenham showed an interest and Diaz said, well, I want out of here now, I'll go. Then Liverpool have obviously stepped in and paid the money now, but it's very difficult to get quality players in this window. You're only going to get that if you basically bully someone who needs the money, or if someone else is a cast off from a team above you. And I think Tottenham need to get back to an identity of buying younger players and targeting the players that really want the summer. You're not going to get great signings in January. I think Kulusevski is really interesting, actually. I think he's got something about him. He's not quite worked at Juventus. Bentancur has been really solid for a few years. I think they're decent signings. Definitely improve what we've got.
Yeah. Do you think... I can't admit to watching much Serie A, and particularly Juve, but what I have seen, do you think Kulusevski will work in that wing-back role that Conte likes to play?
No.
Because I feel like he's a bit more of an advanced player, but do you think that's where he'll be tried to play, or... will he be up alongside Kane and Son?
Yeah, I'd see him right at the front three or in rotational circumstances. If Conte wants to play the 3-5-2 as he did at Leicester, then one of the two, in which case Kane and Son will be ahead of him. You could convert that so it's one that plays behind the two and he could fill that role as a number 10. Don't foresee him playing as a wing back. I think you're more likely to get Lucas Moura possibly converted into that position. Not that I think either will play in that position. So, no, I see him being right of a front three. Likes to come in on left foot. If you look at a montage of his goals, they're all the same. Mm. Left foot, a bender into the far corner and that. So that's where I foresee him playing.
Nice.
Very nice. Yeah, it's been interesting seeing Tottenham's business today. It's been quite impressed, to be honest.
At least we've done something.
Yeah. I mean, just the amount of players going in and out has been a bit mental today, actually. Just watching Brian Gill's just gone to... Valencia on loan? Yeah. He's out.
Brian Hill's gone to Valencia. Lo Celso's going to Villarreal. And Ndombele's gone to Lyon.
Yeah.
And Dele Alli, we know, is going to Everton at the time of recording.
At time of recording, apparently Newcastle are trying to jump in.
For Dele?
Apparently so, yeah. Apparently they've joined the race, but I don't see why Dele would go to Newcastle over Everton, in my opinion.
You don't see why?
Well, I mean, sorry.
I'm trying to think why you would choose Everton than Newcastle at the moment.
I'm thinking about it, yeah. All that.
It's an English institution, that's why.
Yeah. They'll be back at the top four one day with how much money they spend. But yeah, no, great. Well, we had quite a lot of questions come in, but they were mainly all deadline day focused, we'll say. So we'll leave that to a bit later because I've come up with a little bit of a game for a little bit later. So we'll go straight back into our normal segment, which is Snog, Marry, Avoid. If you haven't listened to us before, a snog is a short-term punt, a marry is a long-term hold or mid-term hold, and avoid is someone you just don't really like the look of or everyone's talking about and you don't agree. So I'll start this week because, why not? I'm already talking. My snog this week is Emi Buendia. We talked about Aston Villa last week, and we talked about Watkins, and we talked about a few other players. We didn't really talk about Buendia, and I've watched him the last few games, and he's just looked fantastic. He actually looks like what Coutinho was when he was back at Liverpool. So Coutinho's come in, but I think Buendia's actually looking really good. The change to a new system with Watkins playing up top, Ings got dropped, and Buendia and Coutinho sat behind them. And I think Buendia's looked like the better player out of the two of them, really. Everyone's obviously, the hype's all around Coutinho. Everyone's talking about him coming in and obviously the quality he has. But I think it'll actually help bring out Buendia's qualities and what he's had previously. Just look really good. He's a little bit cheaper than Coutinho and is an easy move from like some of the players who are people getting out. I'm thinking with the blanks coming up, people like Smith Rowe, I think people are losing for a couple of weeks because Arsenal have got two blanks coming up. Obviously, Chelsea with a double blank at the moment. There was quite a few people sat on Mount. Obviously, he's a bit more expensive, so Coutinho's a bit easier there. But it's just quite an easy enabler, I think, at 6.2 million at the moment. Playing really well with Leeds, Newcastle, Watford, the next three. I mean, if you want to go further than that, they've got Brighton, Southampton up after that, which, I mean, they're a little bit harder games. But, I mean, your next three for a snog, 6.2 million. Emi Buendia is my snog.
I like that. It's a good shout, I think. And spoke about him on ours in terms of, I think Coutinho coming in is good for Buendia as well. I like the shape. There's a lot of emphasis towards the fullbacks getting forward in that system now. And I think sometimes it needs a player of quality level. We know Buendia is a good technician to have somebody else who's on your wavelength.
Yeah.
Brings out the player. And I think there's, everyone's talked about Coutinho, but I think there's a case. Buendia's what, 6'2", I want to say?
6'2", and obviously Coutinho at 7. It just seems like you save 0.8 for a player playing in the same position who's, from the game, the last few games I watched, and I think I watched all three of the last Villa games. Chance, I watched the last three of the Villa games purely to watch Coutinho and ended up just being really impressed with how Buendia's playing. He just looks, all of a sudden, he just looks way more confident on the ball and just wants to do stuff with it.
And the only thing I'd say is if the money isn't an issue, I probably would still buy Coutinho first. Because if you go the other way with Buendia and suddenly
you're stuck.
Coutinho shooting off, yeah, you're going to regret it. Whereas if it does show the other way, you can obviously always drop down. And I think with the fixtures they've got, if you want to invest in Villa, you probably shouldn't cut the corners at the moment. But I think he's an absolute brilliant shout, Buendia. You won't get an argument from me on that.
Yeah, I think he started the season and he looked a bit frustrated. Like you could see there was quality there, but it just wasn't kind of turning, well, even into performances, let alone points. As I say, you can see the quality, but I think it was his assist against Norwich where he did that little turn inside the space between the defence and midfield and slid in Ings, I think it was. And that was kind of the first bit of quality I saw.
Goal against Brentford, wasn't it?
Was it against Brentford?
Yeah. It's not. All right. Thanks.
One, Tom. Cheers.
We did. It was a good goal as well. It's an unbelievable finish.
Yeah. And that was kind of like the first kind of spark I've seen from him. And as you said, he's kind of gone from strength to strength since that. And yeah, I think Coutinho's complimented him really well. So yeah, I agree with James in terms of maybe try Coutinho first. But I think Buendia is more guaranteed to start week to week just because Coutinho is a new signing, whereas Buendia's played. I don't actually have it to hand. Do you have his minutes this season, Tom?
No, that would mean I'd have to be prepared and I'm never that. So. He has played. Yeah, he has played the majority of the games, I think, while I stall for time and talk this. I mean, yeah, he's it's not actually as good as it looks, but I mean, yeah, he's pretty much started every single game since game week 14. There's a couple of rogue minutes in there, but yeah, I mean, he's played the majority of the games this year.
I wouldn't judge it on that. I'd literally just be judging it on the last couple of games.
Yeah, and which he has been brilliant. Yeah, obviously, what goal against Everton, which was a header, to be fair. And he could have got something in the United game, I think, the way he played. So I think he was unlucky not to. So yeah, Emi Buendia. Cam, go to you next, mate. Your snog for the week.
Yeah, this is the definition of when we talk about a snog being a punt. I got him in a few weeks ago, was burned by his penalty miss, and have held him in the hope that he's going to do something. But I think now with the managerial appointment of Frank Lampard, I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin for the next few weeks, if you have him already, I'd hold him. And if you're looking for an outside punt, then he's the same price as Antonio. And I think I'd prefer to have him over Antonio with the fixtures, kind of based on the new manager bounce. But also, I think Lampard likes to play football, and I think that will suit him, getting crosses into the box where he's a big aerial threat. His stats up until this point aren't great reading because, obviously, as I said, he missed that pen. But he's been injured for most of the season. But I'll go back to when I shouted him out a few weeks ago that he had 3-3 at the beginning of the season. So, as I said, it is a proper punt. But with the fixtures they've got of Newcastle, Leeds, and is it Southampton? I mean, Southampton are a bit more defensively solid than the other two. But as I say, punt, I like the look of DCR, and I think I'm going to try and hold him for at least another week or two.
I have him, and I'm going to do the same. But that's my feeling on it at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Justifying it with the fixtures, Newcastle and Leeds next, and then Southampton the third. He definitely isn't making it beyond game week 26. I'm not sure he'll make it that long, to be honest.
Yeah, and Cam knows I own him because I captained him a few weeks ago, and he missed that bloody penalty. So
what's the likelihood of his doubles coming in? Because they've got Leicester, Burnley, and Newcastle. Well, Newcastle won't come in because they're playing them next. But are Everton likely to have a double in 25?
No,
because that's Brighton Man United 26.
They've got games to rearrange against Newcastle at home. Is that the only one they've got?
They've got Leicester Burnley as well.
Leicester obviously can't be soon because of Leicester's involvement in Europe. Although if Leicester and Everton both lost in the cup at the weekend, in theory it could go into game week 27. The Burnley game could drop anywhere. And the Newcastle game is obviously owned by Amazon. And I suspect that those Amazon games might drop into game week 33. Plus, with Everton and Newcastle both down at the bottom of the table, do they want them to play each other twice in quick succession? So, I mean, I've got a predicted schedule of doubles, and I don't have Everton down for one in the next 6 weeks.
All right. Well, for those two, then.
So, locking, it's going to happen, doubles. Probably. The only thing I'd say with DCR, I think, yeah, it's really short term. I've got him. It's like, when can I get rid? So it'll either be 26 or 27. 27, they've got Man City. Then it's Tottenham. Then it's Wolves. They've got West Ham and Manchester United a couple after that, which, bearing in mind, Watford is game week 30 and many of us might be free hitting in that week. So suddenly you're looking at a run of City, Tottenham, Wolves, West Ham, Man United. Doesn't look great from 27.
Yeah.
But with the next couple, yeah, I agree with you. They're certainly going to get an uplift from Lampard coming in. So no intention to move yet, but he may not even make it to 26 for me.
James, yourself, mate. Who's your snog this week?
I am going to predict someone who's become a bit of a mythical character on my deadline streams, because I have this guy who comes on my streams. He's like, why aren't you buying him? Why aren't you buying him? And I keep saying, because he's shit, mate. Neil Maupay. I think good run of fixtures for Brighton at the moment. The forwards generally, Calvert-Lewin and others included, are just not performing well at the moment. Obviously, they're a blank, obviously, coming up. But for those on wildcard, I'd consider maybe sticking him in. Watford United as a double, then Burnley, then Villa, Newcastle. It's a really good short, sharp run. We think Brighton might even have a second double over this period as well, possibly even back-to-back doubles as a small possibility. So I'm going to say Neil Maupay, which obviously you shouldn't go and buy this week, but I know quite a few are on wildcard. And I think if you're on wildcard, I'd consider going with him.
Yeah, I mean, I can't hate that because, as we all know, he's a Brentford legend. But yeah, no, they're playing Brighton are just playing really well at the moment, I think. They look quite strong, don't they? So would you say Maupay over Trossard, though?
Yeah, because I've got Trossard.
Right.
There's a possibility I might add Trossard to it. I'm not actually scared of doing it, particularly if it lands on the back-to-back doubles. I got Trossard a few weeks ago, really wanting him for this 25-28 period. Really like the look of Cucurella as well.
Yes, yeah.
But I wanted to highlight Maupay because I just think the forwards are not doing it at the moment. And I think for those on wildcard, I think he's an interesting one at the moment to leave one in as spare and say, okay, that's ready for me to go in on the double on 25. Because you don't really want to go into 25, I think, scrambling for the Brighton players. You ideally want it there. If you can set up properly on wildcard where he's 15th man this week, then I think it should be considered. If I was wildcard, he'd be very close for me to be going in.
Yeah, interesting. I know. Yeah, I haven't really thought about any Brighton players.
So that's, I don't think anyone else should buy him this week, obviously.
No. Well, I don't plan. I struggle to plan ahead anyway. So
even Dennis and King might outscore him this week. You never know your luck.
Absolutely. Right, Marries. Cam, Mary.
Yeah, I think this, well, Harry Kane is my Mary. Not anything to do with James being on, but he can obviously weigh in with some comments if he wants to. But I think Kane was very unlucky to not have a goal last time out against Chelsea. Obviously, the way the game is at the minute, any slight contact and it's a foul. But I think Thiago Silva definitely made the most of that. So that could and would, maybe should have been two goals on the bounce following his goal and assist against Leicester, blanked against Watford, but then scored three on the bounce prior to that. So I think we all know that he is star quality, and he's been missing for a large part of the season, but I think he's starting to get back to his best. And well, Kane scores against everyone, doesn't he? Next up, you guys have got Southampton at home, a team he's got an unbelievable record against. And as I say, I just think, yeah, for the rest of the season, I think he's in good shape to score big, basically.
I think the problem with Harry and Ronaldo, you can obviously put in this conversation as well, is the value of them. Just not justifying at the moment, either of them. I agree, Harry has looked much better the last few games. Against Leicester, he could have had anything. Mm-hmm. And he was Tottenham's best player that night as well, which in the drama, I think, will go missing. But he looked like Pete Kane. I think he had 10 shots that night at Leicester. He could have walked away with anything. So looking more like his old self, I think he's happy with the manager and the way the team's playing at the moment. But how many captaincy opportunities do you see for him? I look ahead at that value and think probably up till game week 31 or so, maybe game week 28 at home to Everton. But then Salah's still got a home fixture that day against West Ham. So I think it's a case of, do you need alternatives for Salah and captaincy over the next few weeks? Yes, I think at some point you will do. Game week 27 is one of the opportunities. When you look at Kane away to Leeds and say Ronaldo at home to Watford, I think I'd know where I'd rather invest the money at the moment. It wouldn't be with Kane. Got Wolves and City in 25-26 as well. Tough games.
Tough games, but as I say, even if you guys only come away with a 1-1 against Wolves or whatever, or, you know, 2-1, 3-1 against City, that's, you know, as a striker, you'll get bonus. So it's not necessarily that Spurs have got plum fixtures that mean they're going to come away with 3 wins out of 3. But if Kane comes away with 3 goals out of 3, then that, I know that will hurt you, James. But for people who are owning them from a fantasy perspective and aren't Spurs fans, then you'll take that, won't you?
With Harry, I always think he'll score in every game. I have unwavering belief in him. I just, from a fantasy perspective, he just would not be in my thoughts at the moment at that valuation. I can't see where I'd capped him and then where it's justifiable. Plus, Sonny is probably going to be back for Southampton, we think, fingers crossed. And I think that would be the better Tottenham investment.
Fair. Tom?
What, Kane or my Mary?
Well, Kane.
Yeah, I mean, I think I prefer Ronaldo for the run of fixtures he's got at the moment coming up. But I don't know if I... On what you're saying about the value of him as well, James, I think everyone's at the moment, there's an absolute money pit. There's so much money flying around that seems to be that, you know, obviously Salah's not there at the moment. He'll be back very soon. But everyone else seems to be so cheap and all the other options are so cheap at the moment. Everyone just seems to have absolute... Well, just either a fantastic bench or just so much money. So don't see the money being too much of an issue, but I think I'd rather have Ronaldo for the run of games they've got than Kane, in my opinion.
Fair enough. Scary stat that was still from one of our podcasts last week, our Norwich correspondent gave us.
Go on.
Teemu Pukki's got more FPL points than Harry Kane this season.
I mean, he is a legend, but...
What, Teemu Pukki?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can do with that bloke's party, didn't you? You can shove it, mate.
Absolutely.
Now, listen, I think Harry will do great between now and the end of the season. I really do. Just from a fantasy perspective, I'm not sure if the value's there, personally.
And this is why we have you on, mate.
I don't listen to me. That's the worst. You want Harry Kane, you get Harry Kane. Believe me, mate. Listen, I'll probably watch him next week and I'll soon be changing my chain. If Ronaldo was to get injured over the weekend, it's not impossible that I would buy him. Because I'd look at it and go, well, I possibly need a captain next week and Harry might be justifiable for me.
The thing, I can't confess to say that I've watched an awful lot of either of United or Spurs, but
don't I just feel of us, mate. I wouldn't have
liked it. I just have this feeling I'd feel more confident that Kane would score week to week than Ronaldo. Ronaldo's been in fits and starts this season for me. Like, had that goal and assist against you, but
you've got 24 that have got, let's say, similar fixtures: Burnley away, Southampton at home. Then you've got Kane's got Wolves while Ronaldo's got a double. Then you've got Ronaldo's got Leeds while Kane's got Man City. And then even when Kane's got Leeds, Ronaldo's got Watford at home.
Yeah.
And I think when you sell it like that short term, I couldn't make justification to buy Kane over Ronaldo right now. I don't think Ronaldo's worth the money either, by the way. But.
Yeah, you did say that to start. The only thing is that obviously Wolves, you know, are unbelievable this season defensively. He got 12 points, Ronaldo, a goal and an assist against Burnley. But he's then blanked Wolves, Villa, Brentford, West Ham. And in, you know, Kane, as I said, has had a few blanks himself. But with those sorts of fixtures, I would have expected at least another two more goals from Ronaldo. And he's not delivered.
Then look at that run of fixtures Kane had in December at the start. When it was like, yeah, it was Leeds, Everton, Brentford, Norwich, nothing. Not even an assist.
Yeah, no, he did have between Toon and Liverpool with nothing.
But he's definitely looking more like his old self.
He's looked good the last few games. Very good. But I won't be buying him.
I would only consider him if... I'm probably going to get forced into buying Ronaldo myself this week. I say forced in, like I can make a different decision.
Yeah.
But I think that's the way I'm going to go. Kane would only be a consideration for me over that next short period if Ronaldo was out, I think.
Who's your man then, Thomas?
God, I right poo-pooed that on Harry, didn't I?
I love it. That's what we're here for. I like it when Cam's ideas get shat on because it makes me feel better. So, my Mario this week is a bit boring, actually. It's a goalkeeper, but it's Robert Sanchez. It goes back to what James was saying about the doubles coming up for them. Sorry?
Are you just going on about Robert Sanchez all season?
What did you say? I completely missed you then. Yeah, I love him. I've owned him all season. It's not been great. He's still the third most owned keeper this year. And so that's why I'm talking about him this year, because they're obviously blanking this week. For me, the only one that I'd move to at this moment in time is Jose Sarr. And their next run of fixtures isn't fantastic. So for me, the move... So Jose Sarr's next games: Arsenal, Tottenham, Leicester and West Ham. Brighton obviously blanking this week, and I think personally, if you were looking at if your transfer this week was to move Sanchez out of your team, I would recommend not doing that and playing without the keeper this week. Obviously, if you've got someone like a Ben Foster or playing second keeper, then great. If you don't, then to be honest, I would prioritise other transfers, other places, and not take out Robert Sanchez, because obviously then they've got Watford, United is their 25, then they've got Burnley, Villa, Newcastle coming up as later fixtures. Brighton are looking pretty good themselves. I know they're conceding a few goals recently, but defensively they've actually been quite good still. And as James mentioned a moment ago, there's more doubles coming up at some point very soon, hopefully. So for me, I'm sticking with him at the moment. And I'm just saying that if you do have him, which 18.2% of the FPL community do, and you're all as stupid as me because we should have jumped on Jose Sarr a long time ago, but I would stick with him for now.
I think advice, by the way, would be for those sitting there with Brighton assets, where possible, don't sell them this week. Just let them sit on the bench. You don't want to be moving them on right now. They've got, even if there isn't a double added to 25, the three fixtures afterwards are great as well. Yep. There's a good run for them. Then there's Liverpool City. There's a tougher run for them after that, but you can worry about that then.
Yeah, absolutely. That's future me's problem. So, I mean, annoyingly, he got a four-pointer this week when I played Ben Foster. So even after conceding a goal. But yeah, Brighton are looking pretty good. So I think they are looking pretty good as a team at the moment.
They are a really good side. They're a tough team to play against. I mean, Chelsea would obviously admit to that, having drawn 1-1 with them twice over the last 6 weeks or so. They're a very good side, really tough to beat. You can never be sure in terms of how they're going to set up against you. Potter's very astute tactically. Never look forward to playing them, which is a compliment to them. Because there's certain games you don't look forward to. You think, oh, this is going to be a rough away day. I don't look forward to playing them because I know they're probably going to outplay us.
Mm.
And that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, they've been very, 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 very good. Cam, you saw Ramsdale?
No, I moved him on to Lloris a while ago, which I kind of regret. It was mainly a short-term move, but it was short-sighted as well because quite often you don't really have the transfers to play with to be able to move your keeper on again. And I kind of want to move away from Lloris. As we highlighted, their fixtures are okay coming up, but you know, there could be a real pumping in 26 away against City, and I'm not sure I want to have him in goal for that.
But so. Harry Kane will score.
Yeah, but that doesn't help me with Lloris in there. So
I wouldn't worry about it. To be honest, Hugo could, Man City away, could get a 3-4 point on.
Yeah.
Even if we get well beat. So I wouldn't stress about that, mate.
Yeah. James, yourself, who are you marrying?
Aymeric Laporte. I think 5.7, he's won on what, over 100 FPL points, is on course to hit towards 200. I think he's absolutely as close as nailed on can be in a Manchester City team at the moment. He's definitely got the favouritism as left-sided centre-back. There is, of course, with the Champions League restarting, a risk of rotation. But the good news with him is he's likely to either play or not play. Not the sort of player that's probably going to get brought on as a substitute. And I want to highlight him because I can never get to him. There's always somewhere else that I need to go to first before Aymeric Laporte. And I think he's one of the best value players in the game at the moment. And I think once he goes in, he'll stay in your team. I wouldn't, because it's City as well, you don't worry about the fact, oh, there's no doubles and stuff. They're great for single game week fixtures and stuff. Might be one further down the line you might be a bit nervous about. I mean, if you were to play a bench boost now, say in 25, I'd be nervous about having Man City players at Norwich and wanting to play a bench boost. I'd try and stay away from that. But I think Laporte, and I think it's gone under the radar because Cancelo's been so good as well.
I feel like this is funnier because you didn't know that I made this transfer last week, but I took out Alonso and I made the decision of going Kyle Walker instead of Aymeric Laporte.
Well, this is what I was just going to say, that Tom talked about Walker last week, and I think we both said we do like the look of Laporte, but just felt that Walker was more sure to start. Just because in terms of competition for his position, obviously Cancelo can go there and Zinchenko can come in at left back, but it just felt like, yeah, there was more potential for rotation with Laporte. But then you look at his points returns in the past 4 weeks and he's got, well, five weeks.
And scoring that bloody goal.
No, I just realised, going back to game week 16, he's got a return every single week, whether that's an assist, goal or clean sheet, which is just ridiculous.
Don't feel bad about it, lads, because we literally did, me and Suj wildcarded on our podcast at the same time. We did a podcast talking about our wildcards. This is prior to game week 18 or 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Suj, please get Laporte over Walker, and he still got Kyle Walker. And Kyle Walker, Kyle Walker wasn't seen for about a month.
Yeah.
I think with Laporte, it's a little bit psychological. You keep thinking, John Stones will come back in at some point. Whereas you know in your mind, Cole Walker is definitely in Man City's first choice 11. But actually, he's possibly changed a bit. Now, it could change again because Guardiola might decide to look at it and go, well, I need Laporte now in them Champions League fixtures. And therefore, he might become a rotation risk himself. But I think at that value, he's well worth it. 5.7. He's a much better goal threat than, say, Walker. Yeah, Walker is a 6-7 player. Laporte will drop you one or two 15 pointers a season.
Yeah,
that's why he's worth going that way, I think.
No, I did watch the a friend of mine's a City fan. I did watch the game and obviously saw Walker almost scored as well. And then obviously Laporte did score, and I was not gonna lie, pretty fuming. But yeah, no, definitely. I think it was proven really in the Southampton game that he just looks brilliant, doesn't he, at the moment. So. Yeah, that was humble pie I ate on the last week. Avoid my favourite part, as per every week. I mean, I'll start because I just enjoy it so much. my avoid this week is Alan Saint-Maximin. He's been bought in by quite a lot of people. I mean, we're early in the game week. Well, we're still in this middle of I know the second longest game week of all time, because the longest game week was last week. Last week. He's been bought by 80,000 people. I don't really know why. They've got,
he scored a goal.
Yeah, he scored a goal. They've got Everton, Villa, West Ham up next, which I don't think he could do that much against. He is far and away Newcastle's talisman, best player. I think he's fantastic. I'd love to. I think, you know, with Newcastle, what they're doing, he will be the hopefully the player they build around, because I absolutely love him. And he absolutely loves the club. But from an FPL point of view, I wouldn't be getting in at 6.7 million. There's a player who's been bought in by slightly more people this week above him, who I'd definitely get in before him, and that's Odson Edouard. Cam spoke about him the other week, and he's got Norwich and Brentford next. He's 2.2 of a mil cheaper. He's playing really well himself, and I'd rather have him than St. Max. So just because Newcastle have signed loads of players doesn't mean they're all of a sudden not a relegation threat team. They're still near the bottom. They're still not playing particularly well, I'd say, even though they beat Leeds 1-0.
It's a short-termism, isn't it? You see Everton at home next as well, off the back of a goal in the last game. Let's Villa at home. They've got some decent fixtures. My concern invested in, say, Newcastle just generally at the moment would be they've obviously got a lot of new players coming in. One, it's got to gel. B, yeah. do they play in a completely different system? It's basically been a 4-5-1 becoming a 4-3-3. If they had a second forward tonight, are they going to move to a 4-4-2, which might sound alien, but we've seen Eddie Howe play that plenty of times over the years at Bournemouth and stuff. And then he's playing left wing in a 4-4-2, and it's not attractive at all. So I'd be very reluctant to invest in Newcastle just generally. I won't argue with that shout, mate.
Yeah.
I think as well that Newcastle haven't scored many goals and don't score many goals, whereas I think your shout of Edouard, you know, Palace do score more goals. I don't think it's necessarily anything to do with them being down the bottom of the table. I mean, generally speaking, teams down there don't score as many goals as those further up. But I think Palace are more of an attacking threat. In the second half against us, they looked really good. Obviously, Edouard got their goal. But yeah, I'd be more happy going for Edouard over St. Max for other reasons. It's weird because Newcastle do look exciting and they have been more free-flowing of late. But they still just haven't converted that into goals. So whilst St. Max is their best player, their talisman, as you've said, it's still not that appetising fantasy-wise.
Cool, I love it. I love it when we all agree. Who wants to go next? Cam?
Cam can go.
Okay.
I need to choose someone first.
I like that you've come to the podcast and taken on the full FPL dummies mentality of
literally it's the same as playing FPL puns. Just turn up and record. Let's see what
happens. Press a button and just see what happens. I love it. Absolutely. Cam, go for it.
Yeah, mine is a lot of my avoids recently. I don't really have too much against the fellas themselves, but it's not quite the LeBron James of soccer, but it's his little brother Josh Sargent. For some reason, 20,000 people have transferred him in and he's got...
No way, you're lying.
No, 20,000 people have transferred him in. He's got 3 goal involvements in the entire season. Do you want to take a guess when they were?
The last 2 game weeks.
Yep. He's got 2 goals and assists in the past 2 games, which obviously might be an indicator of good form. But we've just finished talking about Newcastle, who don't score many goals, neither did Norwich. And I think, yeah, as happy as I am for the kid to get his first 2 new baby and all that, I don't think he's the answer to anyone's FPL prayers. And he's not even particularly cheap. Like, he's 5.4. So it's not like you're just getting a bench filler at 4.5. He might come in for the odd goal or whatever. You know, you could... Well, Dennis is a bit more expensive, but Dennis is 6.2, for example. Josh King is 5.9. Even Pookie, as James alluded to earlier, has got more points than Kane this season, is 5.8.
Well, Sargent's not even the best forward option at Norwich at the moment.
No. There you
Adam Eder is at 4.9. I was tempted to give him a shout, actually. I've mentioned him on a few of our shows recently. At 4.9, with these forwards doing nothing at the moment, I think he's really interesting. Plus, if you go to Sargent, I mean, just literally look at Sargent next to Armando Breuer. Breuer's cheaper.
Yeah.
Breuer, admittedly, has got a couple of difficult fixtures. But then they've got a brilliant run from game week 26. Whereas Norwich, yeah, it's Palace next. Then they've got City and they've got Liverpool. Terrific.
Yeah.
No, it's good. I also would like to, if you do get a spare 5 minutes, is go on to Josh Sargent's profile and maybe I'm showing my age a little bit, but he looks identical to Screech from Saved by the Bell.
I saw someone else, I can't remember who it was, they tweeted, but yeah, a cartoon character from like late 90s, early 2000s. I can't remember who it was though.
Yeah, well, anyone with a big ginger afro, basically. right, anyway, moving on. James, you're a void. Have you managed to think of someone?
Yeah, Harry Kane. No, not really. any Watford player. I'm going to say one, just purely looking at transfers in as well, because I think this is another interesting one. Patson Daka at Leicester. Player I really like. His goal-scoring numbers are fantastic. They're basically as the least likely team to have a double in the upcoming game weeks. It's Liverpool away next, then West Ham and Wolves, two more difficult games. Then obviously a blank. 40,000 people bought in Daka this week.
Yeah.
Don't see it. I really like him as a player, yeah. But I wouldn't go. Leicester would be so far away from my thoughts at the moment. There's a small chance that I think they might end up playing Norwich in game week 27. If someone in the Premier League uses their brain, could play Norwich actually on the Monday night, which would then give Adam Eder a nice looking double of Southampton on the Friday and Leicester on the Monday. But I don't think they'll go down that route. I think it's really unlikely. I think the Premier League are hoping with Leicester that the problem with the postponements they've got to rearrange, I think they're hoping it's going to go away. Because theirs is the worst because of obviously the Europa Conference involvement. They've got four games to rearrange. And as long as they keep going in Europe, there's nowhere to put them.
Mm.
You've got 33 and 36. If they do well in the FA Cup as well, they're almost certain. If they get to semi-finals in Europe, they're almost certain to have a treble game week at some point. They might even have two.
And I mean, some of the teams left in the Europa Conference, I mean, they could go pretty far in that as well.
Exactly that, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the teams in it are rubbish, Tom.
What does it say about the teams outside of it?
I mean, we cared about it so much we didn't even turn up for the last game. Right?
So, but then to be fair, you did say the five words when put together, never, ever, whatever happen. It's the Premier League using their brain. So unfortunately, they probably won't play Norwich in 27, will they?
No, yeah. But again, if they went out in the cup, they could play in that midweek. But even then,
yeah.
It's still only a single fixture because the Chelsea game is postponed. So it still wouldn't be a double for them. So, I mean, if Leicester beat, I've got Randers of Denmark in the last 32. exactly, right?
Who?
So, it's not to say, I'm sure Kasper Schmeichel knows. It's not to say that they'll definitely go through, but you'd make them heavy favourites, even if they heavily rotated, wouldn't you? And therefore, at that point, Leicester can't double till game week 31 at the earliest. So they've got injury problems, defensively bad at the moment till they get players back fit. Although James Justin coming back would be a major plus for them, but you wouldn't get involved in them defensively. I just can't see where Daka would be of interest at the moment. And yeah, I do really like him as a player. I think at some point, between now and the end of the season, one of Daka or Iheanacho will be really, really like top priority for people, but it's not now.
Yeah, I would have chosen him this week, but I spoke about him not too recently, so I didn't want to bore people with me droning on about him again. But yeah, as you say,
you let me do it instead.
You know a lot more about the game than me, and much more interesting to listen to, mate. So I thought I'd let you go for it, but.
Christ. I'm married, mate.
Likewise. but yeah, I think the thing is Vardy is out injured, so obviously Daka, you think, oh nice, he's going to have a start in place, but their fixtures just aren't conducive of returns, basically. Yeah, really tough, and as you say, they're shot injury wise and no doubt they'll probably turn up another bunch of positive COVID tests. Not that Liverpool can talk, but there you are.
Yeah, well, the rules have finally been changed, haven't they? So can't be the injuries anyway. So yeah, and that is Stormberry Void for the week. So thank you very much, guys. That was good fun. Yeah, as I said at the start of the podcast this week, we had quite a lot of questions about deadline day. So I thought it'd be way more fun to put it into a game. So as always, I've come up with a nice rhyming name for the game because there you go, I'm a poet and I didn't know it. And it's called Worth the Hype or Absolute Tripe. So I'm going to give James and Cam a couple of the today's deadline deals and a few of the more interesting deals that we've seen over the last month. And yeah, guys can tell me if they think they are going to be worth the hype or absolute tripe. I did come up with a couple of other names for the game, but they weren't as good.
Does it have to be in terms of fantasy?
Bit of both, I'd say. I'd say generally if you think they're going to be an improvement to the club. And yeah, I mean, if you want to talk a little bit FPL wise on it, but yeah, I just thought it'd be a bit of good fun, especially on deadline day, of whether you think they're going to be shit or a hit. There you go. There's another one. So, I mean, we'll start with the one that everyone's talking about, and that is Burnley signing of Wout Weghorst. James, you can start.
Has he got a price yet?
He doesn't know no FPL price yet. Yeah, that's why obviously we can't go full fantasy on these ones, but obviously interesting signing.
What is it? Ripe or tripe? What is it?
Hype or tripe. Or shit, or tripe. Shit, right here. There we go.
I'm going to say hype. They've got a tough run of fixtures, but he's going to suit their playing style. He's 6'6". I can just see McNeil, Goodmanson getting it into wide areas and going, bang, thank you very much. And he's going to be a pain, an absolute nuisance. Like, I can imagine, Cam, when Liverpool go there in game week 25, I hope for your sake it's not windy. Do you know what I mean? You know you're going to have a big moan about that if it's windy when you go to Burnley, and I'm sure it probably will be. I think he'll do all right. It's difficult to say from an FPL perspective. We haven't got a price. Like, if he was to drop at 5.5 or something, I think that's really interesting. But I think it would have to be that cheap to get my interest in the first instance. Because although they've got a lot of games to rearrange, their fixtures aren't great. But I think from sort of game week 30-ish or 32-ish onwards, he'd be interesting. I'm gonna say hype for Weghorst.
Yeah, I'm going to caveat mine with the fact for Burnley, I think he'll be hype as well because, as James said, you know, the style of play, he's Chris Wood on roids. They've added an extra couple of inches to his height, so he's just going to be sticking his head on everything. But Burnley aren't renowned for scoring goals. I mean, he is a goal scorer. My knowledge of him is mainly from FIFA rather than watching the Bundesliga, but he's been on the radar for a few years, so I know the name. But I think he's definitely not going to be double digits by the end of the season, but I think he will score goals for Burnley. So.
If he gets double digits, he'll stay up.
Yeah.
I think 5 to 6 goals between now and the end of the season is probably a reasonable target. Well, they've got 20 left, 1 in 3 is probably what you're expecting at that level of the Premier League, I think. My main memory of him, Cam, is missing chances for the Dutch in the summer, I think, actually. I think you'll probably do all right. I saw a really interesting graphic of Weghorst's shot positioning compared to Wood, and you can basically layer one over the other. They're the same player,
but
Weghorst is 2 inches taller.
Yeah. No, agreed. It'll be interesting to see how he performs. Right, moving on to the next one. Cam, we thought I'd talk about one of your only signing so far. Potentially, there could be more. But Luis Diaz, who is priced at 8 million. What do we think?
Oh, really?
Hype or tripe?
I'll say hype. I think he's got all the attributes to do well and succeed for Liverpool. It's always hard to say, coming from a league like the Portuguese one, it's a good standard of football, but coming from a league like that to the Premier League, there is obviously a big jump up in quality. But I think the standout memory for everyone of this guy is his goal against City. You know, City's defenders, bar Ruben Dias, aren't the like world class in terms of one-on-one, but he sat a few of them down before rolling it into the far corner. So he's definitely star quality. I think he's got the attributes to buy into, and the attitude, more importantly, to buy into Klopp's pressing system from the front. It's not quite as heavy metal as it used to be, but it still requires a lot of running, and I think he'll be able to deal with that. So it's just a question of whether he brings goals as well. I think he's got all of the hallmarks to suggest that it will succeed, but we wait and see. But I'll say hype.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I've not got a lot to add on that. I think the way Klopp spoke after the signing was a real determination to get this player. He's been there long enough to know what he needs. And I think we all know that front three at some point is going to need changing, evolving a little bit, as it has done with Jota over the last year or so. I think he is definitely a good player. The only thing that might restrict him from the hype is, will he actually get in that team and nailed down a place in the long term. That's the only thing. I think from a fantasy perspective now, it would be a strong no. But I think he's got all the talent to be a top player for Liverpool. The problem is, when someone comes into Liverpool like that now, so you almost kind of put on Salah pedestal with goals, right? And no one's getting near what Mo does. I don't see him being a fantasy asset. I think it's coming too expensive. 8 million, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, 8 million. Yeah, he's in at 8 million. So more expensive than Jota as well.
I wouldn't see him being a regular starter between now and the end of the season, but I would see him being a starter come to start next season, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's potential that they could cash in on Mane at some point in the coming years. I mean, obviously, he's not getting any younger.
Yeah, so the summer's arguably maybe the last opportunity for Liverpool to get a massive fee for him. So, yeah, possibly. Yeah.
No, definitely, definitely. Right, we'll mix it up a little bit then. We'll go to the next one. It's not a player. The deadline day signing of Frank Lampard. Do we think that's going to be hype or tripe? Sorry, James, you can start.
Oh, dear. What have you done to me there, man? What I would say, I'm going to say tripe, but I'm going to say tripe with a caveat that I don't think it's possible for anybody to be successful as Everton manager in the short term. I think that club is wrong in so many ways at the moment. I feel bad for Evertonians. They've got years of pain to come, but in the immediate, I actually think he'll do well. I don't have concerns that they'll go down. I think the next couple are important, but I think he'll get the likes of Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison doing enough that they'll score enough goals to win games. I think his presence will lift the club. I think Lampard could be there 4 or 5 years and do quite a good job, and Everton might still be a bottom half team. I think that's kind of where I'm at with it at the moment. Yeah. I think he's probably as good as what Everton could have appointed at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, there wasn't much pickings really either of, you know, who else could they go for really that's gonna come in and do a job there. I mean,
I think in the immediate it will definitely do what they need.
We saw like the likes
I'd be really surprised if they went down now.
Yeah, we saw the likes of like Big Sam being linked, and yeah, there was a few dodgy picks in there that I saw. So yeah, Cam, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I can envisage Everton finishing any higher than mid-table, really. I think he obviously did a good job with Derby, did a good job with what he had at Chelsea. I mean, he obviously had far better players at Chelsea than he's going to have at Everton, so that's partly the reason why he got Champions League football with Chelsea. But yeah, I think Everton the top down, pretty much just their management structure isn't great. As James said, a lot of Everton fans have been suffering for the... When did they come in? The past 5 years or so? It's not been...
Shiri and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, about that, yeah. I mean, they're spending over the last 5 years. Ridiculous. If you want to giggle, just go and look at the players.
It's awful, isn't it? It's so bad.
I think Everton have the makings of a decent squad. And I think Lampard is a good coach. He's obviously still a young coach and learning his trade. But I think he could get them playing good football, as I mentioned earlier, with regards to DCL. But in terms of taking them to compete for European places, I'm not sure. So I think on that basis, I have to say tripe. But
the best chance he's got longer term is they let the assets they've got, like Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison, Pickford, let them all go in the summer and rebuild properly and get younger players in. I don't mean cast-offs from the bigger clubs. Go and get the best young talent from the Championship. Go and buy like your Jed Spences, Brennan Johnsons. Go and buy these new up-and-coming players and build an identity again. That's Everton's best chance of actually getting back towards the top six in the next 4 or 5 years. He's actually selling the good players they've got. Obviously not now, but in the summer, and having a proper rebuild, letting him do it.
I mean, they get big money. I mean, DCL just being English, the English tax, they get a lot of money for him, wouldn't they?
They'll get massive money for Richarlison as well, the current market. And to be honest, even Pickford.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get English goalkeeper, if they wanted to move him on, there'd be plenty of takers.
Yeah, well, I think if Pickford went, I mean, the likes of Newcastle stay up, that's sort of someone I think they'd target potentially going.
Pickford at Newcastle, that would not go down well, mate.
No, of course, it would. Yeah, of course he is. Yeah, of course he is.
Him, mate.
Absolutely. No, that, yeah. Oh, see. This is where your football knowledge comes in, James. Mine's absolutely shocking.
Tom, mate, right, can I butt in? Aubameyang's apparently back on.
Aubameyang back to Barca.
To go on
his
free
car
as
outside
well.
The new camp.
Yeah, he's doing interviews with Sky Sports as we speak, saying how much he wants to be there.
odd and wingy style, as you said.
Four and wingy style.
Apparently, a free transfer now. Terms between Arsenal and Barca all agreed, and they're doing a medical.
Wait, free transfer as in not on loan, as in gone?
Free transfer.
Bloody hell. Good business by Arsenal. There's another player gone, so...
That's going to be so dodgy in terms of the wages with Barcelona and stuff, if that's free transfer and stuff. There'll be a deal in there for Arsenal, like first refusal on a player or something like that. It has to be.
Dembele?
He doesn't want to go there. I can't say I blame him.
Right, we're moving on to the Spurs lot then. Kluwiewski, hype or tripe?
Well, I don't know who Kluwiewski is, mate, but Kulusevski might be good.
Oh, fuck it. Bloody hell. Christ almighty. Fine. Should I put a disclaimer? My pronunciation of some of these players may be a bit shit. Fine. That Swedish bloke that's come from Juventus.
Tom, to be fair, Mbeumo plays for you and you didn't know how to pronounce his name for it.
Exactly. I just watch him play football. I don't need to know how to pronounce the name. If they score, I'd go, yay.
Dejan.
Dejan. We'll talk about Dejan. Yeah, that's better.
Dejan Kulu. I'm quietly confident that we might see something from, again, from an FPL perspective. I presume there's no price yet.
No, there is not as we speak.
I think if he comes in around Lucas Moura's value, kind of Buendia area, 6 or 6.5 might be quite interesting. Anything more than that wouldn't go near it. He's obviously going to need to get up to speed, I think, before he starts games regularly as well. He's not been a regular for Juventus this year, so that's probably going to need some work. Although he's got a few goals for him. In the last couple of months, actually. He's a talented player. I think for those of us who followed the Euros, there was quite a bit of hype for him for Sweden prior to the tournament. Didn't really set the world alight, but this is the player who was voted Young Player of the Year in Serie A only 2 seasons ago. He's still only 21. He's got the physicality to deal with the Premier League. He can play in multiple positions. So it's a no-lose for Tottenham at the moment, bearing in mind it's a loan as well originally. Yeah. So we'll go with hype.
Is it an 18-month loan as well that he's on? It's a nice long one.
To buy.
I think the obligation to buy, we haven't got the details yet, but it's probably dependent on Tottenham qualifying for the Champions League.
Right, yeah. I've heard numbers about
35. In one of the next 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've heard about 35 million is the number I'm hearing. But
that's about right, yeah.
Cool. Cam?
Yeah, another one I'm not sure what to make. I think as he's got promise. Will he deliver, though? I think I had probably more expectation of someone who's just left Tottenham in Ndombele when he first came of being a real success for Spurs than I do of Kulusevski. And obviously we know how that's turned out. So I don't know. I'll say tripe. I mean, this is because I'm trying not to sit on the fence. I'd say I don't think he'll succeed, but he does have the potential to. So, just to give you an answer, I'll give you tripe, but I think he could do that.
I love it. Right, couple more then. We'll just finish off with a couple more. Newcastle have just signed Matt Target. He is 4.7 million on FPL. I actually owned him first week of the FPL season this year. That was a mistake, wasn't it? Hype or tripe? Cam, you can kick us off on this one.
I'll say hype. I think... I don't think I'd necessarily own him from a fantasy perspective, but last season I owned him. I think you did as well, Tom, for a decent while. I think he's a very solid mid-table left-back. I think, obviously, with Villa signing Digne, like he's a cut above Target, and it was kind of writing on the wall for him once he came in. But I think he'll do well at Newcastle. If Howe can get them playing, you know, his brand of football, I think that involves their fullbacks quite a lot. And as I say, Target looked good last year. So I think 4.7, if Newcastle can tighten up, they've got Burn across the line, haven't they? I don't think that's going to solve all of their defensive issues. But if start showing some potential for defensive returns in clean sheets, I think he'll do well for Newcastle. Fantasy maybe not so much, but I think I can understand why people might go for him.
James?
Tripe. He's the sort of guy who's not going to play left back for Newcastle for longer than 18 months. He's the stopgap, isn't he? I also think Paul Dummett does a really good job. He has terrible injury problems, but he's quite well liked up at Newcastle. And I don't think it's a guarantee that target necessarily goes straight in. It's worth saying from an FPL perspective as well, he'll obviously be ineligible in game week 25 because they play Villa. So you've actually got Everton in blank and then a tougher run of fixtures potentially as well. So I think if the Burn deal is completed, you'd rather look at that at 4.4 or pay the extra for Kieran Trippier. It reminds me of when Wayne Bridge went to Man City. It was one of the early ones that got in, and Wayne Bridge was actually established in the England team. And even then at the time, it felt like, yeah, he'll be City left back for a couple of years and then he'll go by Ashley Cole. I didn't go by Ashley Cole. He went and bought someone else instead from Arsenal. Gael Clichy, I think. But it feels like that. Newcastle will get players like Matt Target, Dan Burn. They're going to be in the team for 18 months max, aren't they? As long as they stay up this year.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with Cam's point. I think he's a likeable player. Like, I think he's at least mid-table quality in the Premier League. I think he's fine. But he also, I think it speaks volumes as well that Villa have not kind of shied away from getting rid quite quickly, having got Luca Dean in. And Luca Dean would have been more the star power signing for Newcastle, but he obviously went to go and play for Gerrard, in fairness.
Yeah, no, I think I do, yeah. I don't, from an FPL point of view, definitely not. I think he's too expensive. There's better players. I mean, it's Newcastle as well, so defensively not going to be great.
Is it just the loan? They've not bought him?
Loan, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I think that's all of the big signings. Oh, wait, no, there's one big signing we've not talked about. The biggest signing of the day, Christian Eriksen to the mighty Brentford.
I was going to say Dele Alli, mate, but
never mind. Oh, yeah, no, sorry. No, I wasn't going to talk about him. But we can talk about him in a minute, because it's not been quite confirmed, Dele Alli. We're not sure where he's going to go at the moment. I mean, it could be Everton or Newcastle at the time of recording. No idea.
Away anyway, mate.
Yeah. But no, Christian Eriksen, obviously, 7 minutes after, claps on the pitch and dying for 5 minutes. It's got his move to, I mean, the club he's always wanted to be at, Brentford. And so can't wait for him to grace the Brentford community. Say him, is it going to be hype or tripe? And be careful, because I will quickly close down this meeting. No, I'm joking.
I think, not just because you're on this call, but I think that'll be hype. I think he's a quality player, provided he can stay fit. And feature, I think, you know, we know the quality that he's got. I think star player in a Brentford team will suit him. I think this could be really good for Mbeumo and Tony, actually, because I think even if Eriksen doesn't get the direct assist for either of them, I think he'd get the hockey assist and be like super crucial in the build up. Do we think what sort of price he'll come in at? Maybe 8?
Pass. If he was, it'd be Coutinho style ish. If that, to be honest.
To be honest, I'd put him at 6. About 6.
Yeah,
6. I think.
Yeah,
I wouldn't rush to go and get him at that.
No.
Purely because we don't know what we're going to get. It's not a. I think A, he's joining your club with respect, Tom, and the price of players are not that high anyway.
No.
Tony's what, 6.5?
6.5 is Ali. So you're not looking
difficult to see Eriksen being higher than that. And we don't know what we're getting. We have no idea. He's not played football for 6-7 months. I'm so pleased. And I think it's a great move for him. I think it's a great move for your club as well, Tom. We've all got our fingers crossed that it works out, and I'm sure it will. I think it's a good move for everybody. But from FPL, I certainly think it'll work out. Even if it's a case it's short term and it works nicely for Christian and it works nicely for Brentford, for FPL, no. I think even if it was 5 million, I would not be bashing down the door, because you don't know what you're going to get. And you do admittedly have some good fixtures, Tom. That's why you're coming on COTC this week.
To be honest, I completely agree with you. From a Brentford point of view, fantastic. I mean, it is the biggest signing we've ever made. I'm waiting till his numbers release so I can go and buy a shirt. And but from an FPL point of view, I think it's a hard steer clear at the moment. Like Cam said, I think really, if anything, it actually improves the ability of Mbeumo and Tony more so than that. We've also got Josh Silva coming back from fitness at some point soon, so there's actually going to be...
keep talking about him. No one's ever seen him, mate.
Can't wait. I'm excited. But no, honestly, unbelievable signing for us. But yeah, it could be an interesting one. And that is worth the hype, absolute tripe, so hope you guys enjoyed that bit. Just one thing, we did have one other question, which I thought I'd leave to the end of the podcast for you, James. Adam 35 who?
No, the answer is no.
So the question was, is James going to pass to Adam in the Game Week 39 charity match, which is being held in Birmingham on the let me get it right, 28th of May. I thought I'd leave it to the end because I thought it would be a good way to end the podcast because it's a really great cause. I'll probably try and get myself up there myself. So the guys are doing a North versus South charity game, or it's called Game Week 39. It's on Saturday the 28th of May for, I don't know who it's for actually. What's it doing at the charity is?
It's your pod, so you better research this.
I had it earlier, but obviously I've already forgotten. So it's for Street Child United. A cause. And it should be really good fun to watch. James is playing, Suj is playing. I mean, attempted. I mean, there's absolutely loads of people playing in it. For some reason, me and Cam didn't get the call up. Cam actually plays football, and I'm shit at football. So
I scored a hat trick on the weekend, I'll have you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What team?
I play for a local team in Bristol.
So you fall under South?
I do, yeah.
All right, well, we'll sort that out. Come, play. We need you. Just come. What about you, Tom? You coming?
I'll be coming, but I'm absolutely shit at football, so you definitely don't want me playing. I'll bring the water on.
I'll just take Cam.
Half-time oranges.
That's such a job kit.
Half-time oranges, and I'll bring the water on for you lot. So, yeah, that's a good thing if anyone is free and available.
I will pass to Adam, but Adam's only a young boy. He's like 25 or something. He's got to do my running. I'll pass it to him, but he's got to run for me.
What are you playing like? So like the Berbatov, well, Pogba, I guess, really. They sort of stand in the middle and not do a lot.
Me? No. I invented the Makaleli position.
Nice. I love it. And so that really is all we've got time for, as we like to say. James, thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Really appreciate it. I mean, if you don't follow James on Twitter or if you don't listen to the pod, James, take it away, but I'm sure they all do.
Planet FPL. On Twitter, you can follow me, Planet FPL Pod.
Yeah.
Some other mug's got Planet FPL and I can't track him down and get rid of it.
Have they actually?
Yeah, there's Planet FPL out there, yeah.
I've never realised that. It's been
dormant for like 6-7 years or something.
I love that. That's brilliant. But no, thank you very much for coming on. Real pleasure. Joining James this week on Clash of the Correspondents on Thursday, so that'll be coming out on Thursday. So if you aren't bored of me, then you can come listen to me again, but if not, you can just go listen to James and Suj on their normal podcast as well. Cam, anything to add, mate?
I'll just get us on Twitter as well, FPL Dummy Cam, FPL Dummy Tom, and the main pod channel is FPL by Dummies, so you can come and watch me and Tom cry when Dennis doesn't start game week 23 the second half because he's suspended. So
I'm already crying already. So once again, thank you for listening, and we'll speak to you next week. I always forget it wrong right at the end next week, and I will announce on Twitter because we're right at the end and this will probably get cut out now, but we have the current 42nd person in the world who's currently top of our mini league. I wish. We'll have to get him at some point. But no, we've got Sam McCaffey, who is currently 42nd in the world, currently top of our mini league, coming on just to have a bit of a chat and see why he's doing so well and why he's joined our mini league, because we're probably to win our shit prize at the end of the year. But just pick his brain and see how, why he's doing everything right and how we're getting everything so wrong. So we'll see you again next week. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.
Cheers all.